Our Father, we come before you thanking you again for this chance to open your word in the hearing of the people out in Randolph County. We pray that you'd lead and guide today as we look at Christ today in the study of the King. We pray in Christ's name, amen. Alright, we've been looking this week at the good kings of Judah during the split kingdoms of Judah and Israel. We see that Judah is where you find all the good kings, the ones that was said to be right in the sight of the Lord. We looked at Asa, who had finishing problems, Jehoshaphat with compromising problems, Joash with commitment problems, Amaziah heart problems, spiritually speaking, Uzziah with pride problems, and Jotham with leadership problems. So what we see is these ones that were considered good kings, the things in their lives that were not good are the things that we learn from, the things that we can learn to avoid, perhaps. Sometimes we learn from other people's mistakes. But here, we'd like to give today, in a summation of these six, by the way, we did not mention Hezekiah and Josiah because they came after the counterpart Israel to Judah was taken in captivity. So we kept those for another study. But the six that we studied can be compared to Christ, can be compared to Christ in the sense that Christ is the very opposite. He is the great example of how to finish well, how not to compromise, how to be committed, how to be one without pride in heart and leadership problems. Let's look at that today. Christ. When it comes to finishing well, not like Asa, but Christ finished well. We see how on the cross, whenever he was there, dying for the sin of mankind, he had come into this world with a purpose. Him and the Father refused to work independent from one another. The one true Godhead, made up of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We see as the person of the Son of God came, as he is upon that cross, dying as the perfect sacrifice for your sin and mine, shedding the perfect blood, as the Scripture says, was innocent and precious. He was upon the cross. In John 19, he said this, "It is finished." He did not renege upon the purpose of coming into this world. He had no finishing problems. Asa had problems. Christ finished well. We see Jehoshaphat in compromising problems. Well, Christ, think of when he was tempted there by Satan. Luke 4, whenever he was tempted, he did not compromise, but rather he said three times to Satan, "It is written." We see that he told him things such as, "Thou shalt not worship anyone except the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou worship." So we see also that Christ did not have problems in compromising. But now as Joash, there was commitment problems. With Christ, there was no problem with commitment. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And when we think of this, we see how surely he was committed to the task at hand, to go to that hour, to the hour of the cross, as it was spoken of. And he spent actually 3 hours of darkness as part of that time of the crucifixion. And he did not have a problem with commitment. And then we also see as well that there was a man named Amaziah, king, who had heart problems. And we see in this that Christ certainly had no heart problem. We see, spiritually speaking, Jesus had great compassion for ones. We see how Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Scripture, John 11:35, Jesus wept. He had great compassion for Lazarus. We see that Lazarus, one whom he loved, had died. We see that his two sisters of Lazarus were weeping. They were believers, but yet they were missing their brother. They said, "Lord, if you had only come, our brother had not died." So we see Christ had in mind a great plan. He was going to raise him from the dead, a great picture for us to learn from. But yet before he did this miracle and said, "Lazarus, come forth," and he came forth bound hand and foot. But we see that Lazarus was in the grave before the his resurrection, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Then we see in Matthew chapter 9 that as the Lord looked out upon a multitude and saw them as sheep without a shepherd, he had compassion upon them. Luke chapter 19, we see how as he is entering into Jerusalem, the very central point of the world as far as God is concerned. You might think, well, how is Israel the central point of the world? How is Jerusalem? Such a small nation. But if they were not God's nation, then why have they survived? And those people are still, and that nation is still alive today. The Jewish people are alive today when they are there on the edge of the Mediterranean Sea, surrounded by all those Arab nations who fiercely hate them. So we see that that only changes through Christ. And yet we see that they are able to survive because they are God's chosen people. So Jerusalem is the central point of the world and still is, as far as God is concerned. So in Luke 19, whenever he came into that city, he came on the donkey there, and we see that he was coming close to the cross. We see that he lamented. He wept over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem. And then Luke 22, we see how as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he sweat great drops of blood. This was sincere, earnest prayer. We see that he had no heart trouble, such as Amaziah did. It says Amaziah, that king who looked at, his heart was not perfect before the Lord. We see here the Lord Jesus Christ, with great compassion, weeping over Jerusalem, weeping over Lazarus, having compassion over the multitude, and sweating, as it were, drops, great drops of blood there in the Garden of Gethsemane in his prayer. We see the love and compassion, concern of the Lord. Now we also see that the Lord had no problem as Uzziah did with pride. Why is this? Because the Lord is just that, the Lord. He was in his rightful position. If we refer to him as the prophet, priest, and king, Uzziah was wrong in trying to take the places of priest when he was a king, even though he'd been king for 52 years. We see that this one, Christ, has no pride problem, for he is the rightful one to whom is heir of all things. The prophet, priest, and king is the Lord Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 18 spoke of the prophet that would come, and that was Christ. We see in Hebrews that Christ spoken of as our great high priest. Now that he has finished the work of redemption on the cross, he's now, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He is our great high priest and intercessor and mediator. We see that the scripture says that he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Yes, Christ is the prophet, priest, and king, his rightful position. So he had no problem with pride. And then finally, we see that this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, had no problem, like Jotham did, the king, with leadership. We see that Christ said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He said, follow me. He was in control. Also, we look in the book of John when he said, I have power to lay down my life and power to take it up again. He was in control. We see in John 18, whenever the band came to take him, the band of men came along there with Judas, and they were going to take him off for his trial and crucifixion. We see that the Lord said, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. The Lord responded, I am he. Isn't that interesting? In the same book of John, he said seven times, I am, speaking of the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine, etc. On through there. I am the bread of life. And he said, as they said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. And they fell back on the ground. He was in control, wasn't he? So we see that he was a leader. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know, whenever you go fishing out for for fish in the pond, you're bringing something out of the place of life in that water and bring them in the boat, and they're going to die. You bring them from death, from life unto death. But whenever you're a fisher of men, it's the other way around. When you're a fisher of men, you're bringing people, as God uses you to give the gospel, bringing men and women and children out of a place of death, spiritual death. And when they come to know Christ, when you're a fisherman, a fisher of men, you bring them from death to life. God is the one that saves them, but He uses us as witnesses to give a testimony, to tell what we know, to give the gospel. We, instead of from life to death, it is bringing men and women and children from death to life. So, Christ had no problem with leadership. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, Lord willing, we pray that this has been of some encouragement to you this week as we've looked at six of the good kings of Judah during the split kingdom of Judah in the south, Israel, the northern kingdom. And there are two other kings, Hezekiah and Josiah. And we see there was great revival with these kings. But we'll look at that perhaps another time. But if you have any comments or questions or any concerns, we do desire fellowship with Christians. We do encourage you to call us, to write us. We'd like to, not for any solicitation for funds or anything, but for only the fact that we want fellowship. We want to encourage other Christians. We know the scripture says, if you're born of God, you'll love the brethren. So if you're one of God's children and you desire to study the Word and perhaps just have a comment, question, just a little word of fellowship, please call us and write us. For Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody. Our phone number this week is 824-5525. 824-5525. Join us next week, Monday to Friday, from 1 to 1:15 with the Two Roads and Two Destinies radio ministry. Thank you and have a good weekend.